Before we got started this morning, I wanted to ask Landon how he felt about that scripture reading, if he felt like it was maybe too many verses or too long of a passage. I got called out last week for asking people to read too much, apparently. Apparently there's such thing as reading too much Bible. But I didn't have you here to defend me, so I'm going to get you connected with those people after services, and then I'll let you go ahead and advocate for me. Are we getting this together? Have I not hit the button yet, Devin? Ah, there you go. It would help if you hit the button. Yeah, so we're still in this section about serving God through wealth, finding ways to make sure that God truly is our master. And I can't stress you all enough just how hard these lessons are to prepare for. Because it's like, as I'm going through the preparation stage, I'm just like exposing myself, I guess. Like I make one point and I just realize all of the changes that I need to make. And then I make like a little sub point. It's like, oh man, yeah, like I probably need to be working on that as well. And maybe you might feel that tension too, when it comes to talking about money in like a spiritual type of context. I think money is pretty difficult to talk about in any kind of situation, under any circumstances. You know, like within a marriage, sometimes like the financial conversations can be maybe stressful or uncomfortable even. Maybe it's with a family member or a friend. Maybe one of those parties needs to borrow money from the other one. Isn't that like a weird kind of conversation? I think anytime money is involved, the conversation might be difficult. But I think money being a tough conversation from a spiritual standpoint, it makes a lot of sense, and it has great precedence, because Jesus' teachings on wealth are about as hard as anything else that he says in Scripture. Like, grappling with the things that he says is as difficult as just about anything else. First of all, you have this two masters statement that we have here, and Jesus says when it comes to money, it's God or money. It's this or that. It's yes or no, right? It's polar opposites, and so trying to display that in real life and trying to assess yourself to make sure that you're doing that, I think that's difficult. Maybe you remember the rich young ruler. This really great guy comes to Jesus and he says, "Hey Jesus, I'm ready to follow you." And this guy, he's got his life together, and it at least seems like he's got his spiritual life together. He's kept many of the laws, and Jesus loves him, and he seems to be really excited about the prospect of this young man. He says, "Okay, well, there's one more thing that you have to do. Then you're going to be ready to follow me." What does he tell him to do? He says, "Give up all of your possessions, all your money and all your stuff, and then you'll be ready to follow me." And for those of us who know the story, we know that's just about the last good thing that happens in the whole story, because the rich young ruler, he walks away sad because Jesus has asked for him to do too much, at least in his estimation. And even the disciples' response afterwards is kind of a tell as well. They say, "Well, look, if it's like this, if it really is like this or that, then like no one can possibly get in." You know, when it comes to our wealth and when it comes to constantly proving that Jesus is our master, sometimes it's going to come with that difficulty. And so I just want to say that our topic this morning is no different. The specific role, the specific thing that we're going to talk about is no different. There are going to be aspects of what we talk about this morning where you're going to say, "Nah, I can't do that. That's for other people to do. I don't have that kind of personality. I'm just not in that phase of life. My circumstances don't allow for me to do that." I kind of already know that that's going to happen because I said some of those things myself. And so what I want to do right now is if you do say that at some point during this lesson, if you hear something, you're like, "No, that can't be for me." I want that to be a trigger for you to say, "No, actually I can do that. Like Jesus wants me to do that." And I honestly think when we step back and kind of think of the benefits of this topic this morning, I think it'll be pretty evident why Jesus wants us to live this way. One of the ways that we can serve God through our wealth is actually through our hospitality. And I'm not getting this to change. Turn the power on. Neil, you are a brainiac, man. hospitality is one of the ways that we can prove that God is our master. When you share a meal with someone, when you open up your home, when you use your resources to help others, you show that God is the one that is in control of your life. And I think that hospitality is one of those things that it feels like a small thing. And since it feels small, sometimes it can go overlooked. Sometimes we can go long periods of time without doing it. And in some ways, it is a small thing because having someone over your house isn't always like a big thing, especially if it's like your friend or maybe it's someone that you grew up with or someone that you've spent a lot of time with. It doesn't always feel like you're doing a great thing, but the awesome thing about hospitality is that even when it's in its smaller forms, it's still amazing in that form. And as it grows and as it gets better, it just becomes even more amazing as well. And so hospitality, I think it is either the sister or the cousin to generosity, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I think generosity normally has like a monetary connotation to it. We think of people being generous as people who maybe give a lot to a specific charity, or they've given a lot to maybe a family, or maybe it wasn't one time where they gave a lot, but they gave a little bit a lot of different times. And so we would say that that person, because they're giving so much money, they are generous. Well, I like to think of hospitality as that's being generous with your stuff. That's being generous with the things that you have. That's being generous with your home, being generous with your space. And in reality, though, like if you aren't generous, I think you're going to have a pretty hard time being hospitable, because hospitality sometimes can cost money. And sometimes hospitality can cost a lot of money. And that's something that really became real to me about a year ago. And I wish this young man was here for me to call him out this morning. But a year ago, Macy and I started having Spencer Bradley over to our house every Thursday. And he's a 20-year-old college student. You know what 20-year-old college boys do, right? They eat and they eat and they eat and eat and eat. And he kind of snookered us in, because the first time he really didn't eat too much. I don't know if he was just trying to get on our good side, but by the second time he was scraping the bottom of the crock pot. The third time he had our refrigerator doors open looking out like, Cody, do we have any more Coke Zero? Cody, do we have any more Coke Zero? And so, like, you know, in all sincerity, like, sometimes, like, hospitality is going to cost money. So we kind of need to come to grips with that if we are going to be as hospitable as Jesus wants us to, like, sometimes that means it's going to cost us a lot. And so when you think about it from that standpoint, it's pretty obvious why this really is an awesome way, and maybe even an easy way in some ways, to use our wealth to glorify God and to prove that he really is our master and the dominating force in our life. And so I just want to start with this, that Christians are hospitable, right? Like, period, point blank, end of story. This needs to be our default. This should be true of me. Like, I should be able to say that Cody is hospitable, or the Hairstons are hospitable. I should be able to say the same thing of you and your family as well. Now, there are some practical ways to go about this, and not everybody's hospitality is going to look exactly the same. But I do need us to get on board with the fact that this is what we revert back to. We are hospitable people. And so what does the Bible say about Christians being hospitable? The first thing I notice is that it commands it. Christians are commanded to be hospitable. And I think that was one of the greatest, like, aha moments for me throughout the whole preparation of this study. Because for me, for a long time, and maybe you're like this too, for a long time, I've thought of having people over, showing hospitality, as like an extra thing that a Christian might do, maybe like a icing on the cake or a cherry on top, if you like cherries. And so I was thinking, like, you know, if you're young, if you're typically busy, if you don't have a big house, or if you just don't really like people, like if you're in one of those groups, it almost feels like you are excused from showing hospitality. Maybe you'll get there at some point, but right now you just don't fit the bill. And I do think these things obviously impact the specific form of hospitality that you're going to be able to provide. You know, if you're single and maybe living in a one-bedroom apartment, you're probably not hosting the group meeting. You know, like the things that we have definitely impact what we're able to do. But again, this needs to be our default. And so if we can't do this, if we're hospitable, we need to be finding ways to do that or that or that. We need to be constantly finding ways to be hospitable because, again, the Bible and the apostles specifically, they don't just suggest hospitality. They don't say, hey, this is something cool that you should do. This is something that may have some great benefits. They actually command. They say you need to be hospitable. Let me get you some passages on this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, this is Paul. He says, share with the saints in their needs and pursue hospitality. And I like that word pursue because that's what hospitality is going to be for us. It's going to be something we have to pursue. We may not actually be there right now, but you better believe we're like exhausting all options in order to get there. That's something that we're working towards. And even there's kind of some built-in grace there as well. Like even if we're not where we need to be, that's okay because we're still working towards it. We're still pursuing it. But notice it's not something that's optional. It's something that he says we need to chase after. It's something that we need to get at all costs. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 and then Titus chapter 1 verse 8. These are the qualifications for an elder or for an overseer. And I think of elders as people who they're not perfect people, but there are people who have kind of gotten the fundamentals down, the foundational things as far as being a Christian. They have some of those things down. And so those are people that we can look to as an example for knowing how a Christian needs to behave. And so one of those things that they are an example of is actually hospitality. They are to be hospitable. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10 is a really interesting one to me because this is the qualifications, I guess, for supporting widows. And Paul kind of says that this is a woman who has excelled in good work. She's doing all of these awesome things. She has been like a vital part of the workings of a congregation. And one of the ways that Paul says you can know that is if she has shown hospitality. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9, he says, above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. And so Peter kind of adds two things. Number one, love comes first, and then comes hospitality. So if we really love one another, if we really love our brethren the way that we're supposed to, then hospitality is like a natural next step. But I also notice he says to be hospitable to one another without complaining, right? And sometimes that's a hard one. Maybe you're the spouse of someone who is really hospitable, who really wants to have people over all the time. And they say, hey, yeah, we're going to have the so-and-sos over next Saturday. And you're like, oh, again, we're opening up our home again. I see some people chuckling. Don't tell yourselves too much. But, you know, maybe you're that person. And, you know, Peter says, be hospitable without complaining. We read a couple weeks ago about how God loves a cheerful giver. There's a certain kind of heart that he wants while we're doing these things. This is kind of the same way. And so just notice in all those passages, like in no way are they saying, hey, you probably should be hospitable. They're talking about hospitality as something that you must have and that the church needs in order for us to be the body that he truly wants us to be. But Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 1 and 2, that's my favorite one because it has some of the factors that we just talked about. The Hebrews writer says, let brotherly love continue. Don't neglect to show hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. Some translations actually say, don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But again, notice, love for the brethren is commanded first, and then hospitality is just like right on its heels. Again, notice he says you can't neglect this thing. This isn't something you can just put on the back burner, something you can just leave to the side. It's something you've got to go after. You've got to pursue it. But the coolest part of this passage is what he says, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. And even since I was little, that was always like one of the coolest verses to me because I get both sides of this. I understand this in like a metaphorical sense that some have entertained angels, like again, in a metaphorical sense, because sometimes like people have entertained some really good people, some They have had people over that maybe they didn't connect with before, but now since they've been in their house and they've kind of gotten to know them, now they're like, man, you're like a rock star. You're somebody who's really going to be able to help me moving forward. You're going to be able to minister to me. I'm going to be able to minister to you moving forward. This is going to be a really good relationship, and that wouldn't have been possible. That you wouldn't even have gotten to know that person on that level without this hospitality. So I get it from that standpoint, but I think this also pretty clearly points back to an Old Testament passage in Genesis chapter 18, because Abraham literally did this. Abraham entertained a stranger, and it turned out that they were angels. And so I want us to look at that story in Genesis chapter 18, and I want us to see why that example is given to us to kind of shape our hospitality. So Christians are hospitable, but let's look over in Genesis chapter 18, and we'll be able to see some of the little components of hospitality that we all need to make sure that we're having. Just thinking about Abraham, because he's the one who shows the hospitality here. When it comes to him, we already know that he values God over money. We already know that God is his master in not trying to just build wealth. We know that for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's already left his hometown. Thinking back then, if you're somebody who's trying to make it in life, you stay put. You stay in one place and you build a kingdom there. You have your family stay there, and then your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. You stay there and you build an empire there if you're trying to build wealth. But God tells him to go somewhere else, and he's like, okay, well, you know what? I'll go there. And so that shows us he values God over money. He also gives Lot the best choice of land. Abraham and Lot were having some issues, and their people were having issues. And he gives Lot first choice on to where he could live. And, you know, as the oldest of five, I know how tempting it might have been to just pull some seniority and say, you know what? I'm the oldest here. I'm going to go to that good land. But he doesn't do that. He values his relationship with Lot. He also gives a tenth to Melchizedek, someone he's never met before. He can tell he's got a connection to God, and so he just gives him a tenth. And there's plenty of things that Abraham does, but Abraham values God over money, and so his hospitality that he shows here, it comes naturally. And so let me read verses 1 through 8 of Genesis chapter 18. It says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. He looked up and he saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to meet them and bowed to the ground and said, 'My Lord, if I have found favor with you, please do not go on past your servant. Let a little water be brought that you may wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring a bit of bread so that you may strengthen yourselves. This is why you have passed your servant's way. Later you can continue on.' 'Yes,' they replied, 'do as you have said.' So Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, 'Quick, knead three measures of fine flour and make bread.' Abraham ran to the herd and got a tender, choice calf. He gave it to a young man who hurried to prepare it. Then Abraham took curds and milk as well as the calf that he had prepared and set them before the men. He served them as they ate under the tree." And so these three guys just, and as you read the story, it seems like they just kind of, they just appear there. And Abraham, he's just hanging out by his tent. He sees these three guys that he doesn't know. And he says, "You know what? Like, I need to take care of you. You guys need to stay here for a little bit. Then you can go on to do whatever you need to do." And so he, his wife, and even his servant there, they all kind of jump in. Everybody pitches in, and it becomes this picture of hospitality. But I noticed some things about Abraham through this whole interaction. Number one, I noticed that Abraham does not let his circumstances excuse him from showing hospitality. Here in verse 1, it says this is during the heat of the day, and I want us to kind of put ourselves like in his shoes, put ourselves in that moment, because it's the heat of the day, and then verse 2 says he ran to them. If it's hot outside, running is probably not something that's super high on your priority list. Abraham could have sat there and been like, "You know what, it's hot. Y'all need to come over here, and then we can kind of work things out." He doesn't use the heat of the day as an excuse for not helping these people. It says that there were three men that were there. That's three people. So on the spot, he and his family are going to have to take care of three individuals. I don't know what size man this was, but if they were like half the size of Spencer, that means that they were about to have to do a lot in order to make sure that they were taken care of. And so he easily could have said, "You know what? This is just a little bit too much for on the spot. You guys go run around town." I don't know if they were in a town, but you guys can run around town, then come back, and then we'll be ready for you. You know, he just He just jumps in and he helps. It says that the men were standing near him, so they didn't come up and say, hey, like, can we come over? You know, Abraham could have sat on his hand and been like, look, if they really need help, like, they'll come ask. They'll come ask for it. They'll make it known. He just kind of jumps in and says, you know what? I see a need here, and so I am going to go ahead and take care of this. And so, you know, we must do our best to not allow our circumstances to continually excuse us from showing hospitality. Obviously, things happen. And, you know, if you're an hour and a half away and someone shows up at your front door and you see them on, like, your little ring, I don't know that you got to drive all the way back and make sure you take care of them on the spot. But if we're always having things come up so that we can't show hospitality, if we're always just too busy to have someone over, maybe that means we need to make ourselves less busy. Maybe that means we need to open up some space so that we can do what God would want us to do. And so he doesn't use any of these excuses to excuse him, but we need to make sure that we're being the same way. I noticed that it says three men, not three brethren, not three whatever. Like, these are just three random human beings that show up, and so they are complete strangers to Abraham. He definitely doesn't know these guys, because like I said, it seems like they just kind of just spawned right next to him. He's never met them before. He doesn't know anything about them. He doesn't even know if they're God-fearing people or not, because he's just met these guys. And so he doesn't know anything about them, but guess what? He invites them in. He pulls out all the stops to make sure that they're taken care of. And so when it comes to our hospitality, you know, I don't know them very well. We don't have much in common. We're not friends, or whatever the things that we might say to excuse ourselves. Like, that's not really a good excuse based on what we see out of Abraham here as our picture of hospitality. Sometimes it includes taking care of people that we just don't really know very well. I notice he says, please do not go on past your servant. Abraham felt a real sense of responsibility here. He said, I'm here, you're here, and you have needs that need to be taken care of. I need to do that. And so we need to kind of be the same way. And then I also notice Abraham's sense of urgency. He says, quick, knead three measures of fine flour and make bread. And he says that to Sarah. And the seriousness of this statement here is something that really only struck me on February 18th of 2021. That's the day that me and Macy got married. Abraham suddenly tells his wife, we've got people here. You need to go cook something. And so Abraham's a pretty brave man for saying that, number one. But it also shows just how serious this situation is. He's like, we can't wait. We all have to pitch in. We all got to get on this. And obviously, good on her for being hospitable as well, for just jumping in and doing whatever it is that she needed to do. He even tells his servant to kind of do some of the same things as well. They even gave of their resources to help these people. Whatever they had on hand, they said, this, whatever I have is available to help you. And so it ends up being flour and calves and milk. And, you know, those are resources, you know, especially in that day. Like, one more calf for these random people is one less calf for Abraham and for his descendants as well. And so I get from that sometimes we've got to go out of our way to show hospitality. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, we've just got to grab whatever we have available, and we've got to help out. And so how do we show hospitality like Abraham? I think number one, you've got to build your way up. Likely, if you're nowhere near Abraham right now, you're not going to leave out today and just automatically be like him because of this one lesson. This is something you've got to build towards. It's something that you've got to pursue, that you've got to be working on, I guess, maybe at all times. But I do have three things this morning that I think we could do in the next month, week, or even some of these things I guess you can do today that can show that we are being hospitable like Abraham. And the really cool thing about these three options is that one of them kind of helps you level up to the next one. As you kind of get the first one down, the second one becomes a little bit easier. And as you have the second one down, the first one, now that's no big deal. And then the third one becomes a little bit easier as well. And so if we're going to show hospitality like Abraham, a good place to start is just sharing a meal with someone. I actually think this can be in the home or outside of the home. I think this is the best way to just get your foot in the door, just get started with being hospitable the way that Abraham was. For many people, the financial part of hospitality, it really isn't all that big a deal. You're not looking at your budget at the end of the month and go, oh man, we just had too many people over. So for a lot of people, it's not the financial part. Unfortunately, it's the people part, right? It's the being around people that maybe you're not super close to, or maybe you're just someone who just doesn't really enjoy being around people all the time. Well, I will say when it comes to sharing a meal, there's something communal about sharing meals together, and you even see a lot of Bible imagery around bringing people together and it coming together around a meal. We have the Lord's Supper, the communion, and there's plenty of other feasts that are talked about as far as bringing people together. And so this is a good way to kind of maybe work your way out of some of those reasons that you might not be hospitable right now. And I think what you'll find is the more meals you share with people, you'll realize it's not as bad maybe as you thought it was. Sometimes you're going to have weird conversations because, you know, people are weird and you're weird. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that, but like there's someone that thinks that you're weird, just like there's somebody that thinks that I'm weird too. And so sometimes that's going to happen. But I think what you'll find is that more times than not, you find a lot more commonality than you thought you had before. And you end up having good conversations and it ends up being a good thing. And so one of the big benefits to this is that so much encouragement can come from the conversations that are had during those meals. Loneliness is like an epidemic right now. I looked it up this morning and it was like 36% of Americans feel lonely. So that's like one out of every three people. It was like 61% of people ages 20 to 30. So that's almost two thirds. And it was like 51% of women who have children five or under. So that's half right there. And so likely there's at least someone here that kind of feels that way. Again, just playing the numbers. There's an entire like rent-a-buddy industry that I found out about. I was listening to something. They were like, yeah, you can like rent a buddy for $40 an hour. And I said, wait a minute, what's this guy talking about? And it's a real thing. Like, and I'm not trying to demean that, but I think it shows like how much people now are like seeking friendship and they can't find it. They can't find that commonality. And so sharing a meal with people will do that. It may help someone else who's in that position where maybe they're feeling lonely. Maybe you're feeling lonely and you showing hospitality is a great way to get you around other people and maybe you won't feel that way as much anymore. So I think sharing a meal is a great way to start out this journey towards hospitality like Abraham. Secondly is just having people into your home. This is a huge step for a lot of people because when we think of having people into our space, we immediately start thinking of all the things that could go wrong. Like, what if they don't like what I cook? What if they don't like my kids? You know, what if my kids are bad? What if they're like talking bad about my house or my decor and things like that? And so like, that's what we start thinking about. Well, you know, don't let those possibilities discourage you from taking that next step and being hospitable. You know, if someone is judging you, and I really think if you were to do that more, you'd see that more people are not like that than they are, especially within here. But if by chance there is someone judging you on that front and they're making it hard for you to be hospitable, for you to do something that Jesus wants you to, you know, that's being a stumbling block. And Jesus already said he's going to handle the stumbling block. So you just go ahead and do what you need to do. You show that hospitality, you power through that. And so from this, I think connectivity, there's a certain level of connectivity that comes when you have people into your home and kind of vice versa. Like once you start going over to someone's house and once they start coming over to yours, you just kind of establish a bond there that's different and it's more powerful than it was before you guys had started on that. And there are some things that we're supposed to do as Christians that are really only possible if you are really connected with someone else. I'm thinking of things like confessing your sins to one another. That's what James tells us to do. Well, my question is, who are you more willing to confess your sins to? Someone whose house you've been to or someone who you only talk to in the back, right? Like that connectivity that is necessary to confess your sins to one another, that comes and maybe that starts with being hospitable. Who are you more willing to seek help from? Maybe it's a marital thing. Or what couple are you more willing to reach out to? The couple that you're at their house every week and they're at your house every other week, or the couple that sits on the other side of the building that you never even really have any contact with. Hospitality helps to create some of that connectivity. It helps to expedite that process. And so having people into your home is a great way to start on this journey of hospitality. And also, it's sometimes we're going to have to show hospitality to strangers. This is the ultimate form of hospitality, if you will. When we're really like functioning the way that Abraham did, this is kind of what it looks like when you have people over that you don't even know. We had a guy named Max back home from Wildercroft, the congregation I grew up going to. And I would see him like every service, but we never really had any like conversations other than the normal like, hey, how's it going at the back? The thing that we all always do. But it was one Thanksgiving, I was working at the grocery store that morning. I came home, and Max was there for Thanksgiving. And I had never seen this guy smile, but when I walked in that door, I saw all of his teeth. Every single last one of them, because he was just so happy. He was laughing. He's joking with people. And again, I didn't even know he could smile, much less laugh. But would you know that he was so close to our family moving forward from that? He was there for like two more Thanksgivings after that. And my parents actually helped him through some like really tough things on his part. You know, that wasn't possible if they didn't show some hospitality to somebody that they really did not know. Now, I do think that the primary use of this is within the body, so strangers in Christ, if you will. Like, we got brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes you got some strangers in Christ, some people that you don't really know super well. Again, like the context of all the passages that we looked at this morning are definitely talking about brethren, but it's not limited to them, though. You know, I'm thinking about like our neighbors maybe that we don't know super well, or coworkers that maybe we see in passing. Maybe some of those are the people that we need to be showing some hospitality to. You know, I'm thinking of all the evangelistic opportunities that we could have if maybe we had someone over that we don't normally have over. You know, once you get into someone's home and once you start sharing a meal, people are more willing to open up about their lives. You may find out that there's something going on and you're like, wait a minute, Jesus has an answer for that. And maybe that's your window into helping them out and leading them to Christ. And none of that is available to you if you aren't showing hospitality. And so these are the three things to kind of get us started with hospitality. But ultimately, I think the coolest thing about hospitality is that it just leads to taking care of people in general. Let me read Acts chapter 2 and verses 44 through 46. It says, "Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple, and they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts." And so when I think of the word hospitality, I always think of words like hospital and hospice, because hospitality is really about like taking care of the people around you. Well, that's what they're doing here in Acts chapter 2. They're taking care of the people that are around them. And this is what the people do right after deciding to obey Jesus. This is before anybody said, well, you know, what if this person doesn't actually do enough with what I give them? Or, you know, this is before Paul wrote that neither shall he eat passage in 2 Thessalonians that sometimes people abuse to not help the people around them. They immediately just jump in and they just start helping the people that have need. But notice that in order to get there, it starts with some hospitality. It says that they broke bread daily. They broke bread from house to house. Then they have all things in common. Next thing you know, they're selling everything to take care of the people that they never met before. And so I have no reason to think that those things aren't linked together, that the hospitality is what kind of led to that. And this culture continues within the church. You know, they do this same kind of thing again in Acts chapter 4. This time, they just give the proceeds to the apostles. They say, hey, look, you guys, just give this to whoever has some needs. But that culture that was created where everyone's helping each other, it started with hospitality. It started with breaking bread from house to house. And so all of these wonderful things that start happening, all of the people being taken care of, all of the benefits that the kingdom gains from the things that happen here in Acts chapter 2, it starts with hospitality. And so the awesome things that happen here, I think some of those things can happen for us today as well when we are hospitable to the people around us. And so Christians are hospitable. And just like anything, it's a learned trait. Some people just have a better knack for it than others. Some people just have that kind of personality where they just want to be around people at all times. Some people are just in a different phase of life, different circumstances and whatnot, that maybe they're able to do more. Don't get down on yourself if you're not quite where you need to be yet. It's this thing that we're all trying to work towards. But with that said, I do think as awesome as we are now, and that's Walnut Street, and that's the church as a whole, as awesome as we are now, and I do think we're awesome, we would be even better if everyone showed hospitality. If this is something that we could honestly say about each and every individual that meets here as well. You know, I recognize that we're kind of coming out of a time where seclusion was king, right? Like, actually, legally speaking, you kind of had to be by yourself for a couple of months there with COVID and everything. And maybe because of that, we can kind of get into some bad habits where we want it to be just us all the time. Well, first century churches, you know, they would have seen hospitality as automatically something that we need to have happen because, you know, they don't have hotels back then. If someone's going to like a new city, they got to find some Christians to stay with. And so hospitality was a vital part of their workings. And I think it's just as important for us today as well. And so Christians are hospitable. I hope that's true of me, and I hope that's true of everybody else here today as well. And so now's the time for the invitation. There may be somebody here this morning who has not decided to put Jesus on in baptism. As always, you don't need to wait any longer than right now. We don't have quite the same theatrics as we had last week where, again, the water was literally reaching out for you. But it won't take too long to get it ready for you. And so if there's someone here who wants to be baptized, who wants to start on their journey towards Christ, to start working on being a better person, start working on being maybe even more hospitable, we want to help you get started with that. And maybe there's someone else who's struggling with something different. You've already put Jesus on, but you need some help. And so you can come down to the front and we can start helping you with that as well. If you have any needs, please make them known now as we sing our invitation song.